Have you ever been a witness to an auto accident or a crime? And I don't know if you've ever gone to court, but some of you, maybe probably most of you, have been a witness, and I know I have. When I was in high school or in college, I was working at Abby's Pizza. I was my second year at college at SOU, and I was working at Abby's Pizza, and I was the night manager closing down and all of that. And in the middle of the evening, there's a guy came in, and he had this stocking cap, and he had a gun, and we got held up. And he goes up to the counter, and he starts to rob us. And it was interesting because there were a lot of different workers there, and there were many eyewitnesses. And each, if you asked them at the end of this encounter, they would have given you a different perspective. There was a cook in the kitchen, I'll never forget. He came out with the hot pizza, set it down. He looks, and he sees that, and his eyes get about this big, and he just kind of freezes. You know, and then the poor counter gal, you know, she's the one having to interact with the guy. And I'm in the back, and I kind of walk up to get him because I'm thinking, is this really happening? And I walk up saying, you know, why don't you walk up there and just kind of check him out and get some descriptions so later you can do something. And I wouldn't advise that. Just get away as far as you can. And I wouldn't advise you at the end. I went running back to go call the police, and the guy hollers, hey, stop, and I didn't. I'm college, not very smart, sorry. Young. But all the eyewitnesses would have had a different, unique point of view. And they would have had this angle from the kitchen, my angle here, the bartender over here who had to rip off the phones and hand them all the tills. But one message would come through from all the witnesses. We got robbed. Okay? That's what happened at Jesus' resurrection. There were many different people who witnessed his death, his burial, the empty tomb, his resurrection appearance, and everyone had a unique perspective and experience. But everyone, all of them, bore witness of the fact that Jesus had died, Jesus was buried, the tomb was where Jesus was placed, was empty on Sunday morning, and Jesus was alive that Sunday. Jesus had risen from the dead. Those witness accounts were verbalized over the next 25 years. 25 years later, from 25 years to 45 years later, it became recorded on paper, written down by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I'd like to revisit the eyewitness accounts on that resurrection Sunday when Jesus rose from the tomb. There's the four Gospels, and they tell these different perspectives from different witnesses. And it's hard to kind of put them together in a chronological order. But there was a Bible student, a serious Bible student, Dr. Johnson Cheney, he spent 20 years putting in order the events of the Gospel. And I want to storytell for you today the events, the order of that. You might be a little surprised when we put it together in chronological order. I want to set the scene. Friday, Jesus has been crucified. Mary Magdalene's there, Mary the mother of Jesus. Many of the women from Galilee, they all have witnessed that horrendous, excruciating crucifixion of their Lord and their Master, their Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus dies, and they all experience that, and the soldiers come to break his legs, but they don't need to because he's dead, and they break the other soldiers' legs. And they die shortly after. After that, the Roman century, as he sees all this take place, says, surely this was the Son of the living God. And the skies have grown dark. And after that, then Joseph of Arimathea, who is one of the Sanhedrin, he goes to Pilate. It's the next day is going to be the Sabbath. And he goes to Pilate and says, I would like to take the body. And Pilate, after checking with the centurion that Jesus was really dead, gives him permission. And so that late afternoon, he goes and he takes the body of Jesus. Picture this. Takes him down from the cross. Hoists the bloody mass of body onto his shoulders with Nicodemus. And then walks him over a few feet away, not too far away, because we know that where the crucifixion took place, not far away was the garden where the tomb was. It wasn't that far away. He carries him over. Bloodied body, rigor mortis set in, and they wrap him in cloth. and they put the spices on him. And Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, the mother of Joseph, comes and they watch. And maybe they helped in that too. And they watched, and it was a new tomb, and Joseph had bought it himself. He was a rich man, and he was secretly was a Jesus follower. And because of his love for Jesus, and this is a bold move, he goes and asks for the body, and then he wraps the body with love and affection and appreciation, along with Nicodemus, another Pharisee. And they place the body in the tomb, 75 pounds of spices. They roll the heavy rock down the little trough, and it sets in its place. The women, Mary and the other Mary, were there. They saw it. They all go home because it's the Sabbath. You don't do anything from the Sabbath. From 6 o'clock Friday night, the Sabbath starts, until 6 o'clock Saturday night. And so the Sabbath, they're not supposed to do anything. It's on the Sabbath, on that Saturday morning, that the religious leaders get a little worried. And so they go ahead and they go to Pilate on the Sabbath, and they request that there be a guard set out to guard the dead body. Why? Because they remembered what Jesus had said. They remember, the disciples didn't, but they remember he said, you know, I will die, and on the third day I'm going to rise again from the dead. And so they were worried about that. That was even a possibility. So they go to Pilate and say, Pilate, we need you to put a guard out there. And so Pilate consents. And so at some point in time, Saturday, the guards go. Some people think there were four. Others think there could have been a dozen to 30 guards. Don't know for sure how many. But these are Roman soldiers who know how to defend some territory. They said four soldiers could defend just a short little ground by themselves. They were like a war machine. And so these soldiers, fearless, are standing guard over the tomb. That's Saturday. Saturday evening, the women, after the 6 o'clock, go to buy some more spices. They want, because of their love for the Lord, they want to go and honor him. And they want to give more spices and wrap his body even further. And so they buy some on Saturday night. Sometime in the middle of the night, the soldiers are standing around. Who knows if it's cold, cold, dark night. And all of a sudden, something happens. There had been an earthquake previous, right? When Jesus was on the cross. Another earthquake happens again. These brave soldiers who are instructed how to kill, war machines, are fearful. Why? Because of the earthquake? Part of it. But the scripture says that an angel in all his glory comes down and he sits on the tomb, or on the rock. And if picture yourself, you're a Roman centurion in the dark of night, and all of a sudden this bright person comes down, an angel, and you're in fear. And the Bible says they just froze in fear. The angel comes down, he moves away the stone, and he sits on the stone. And the soldiers are frozen in terror and fear. When did that happen? Sometime. Early, early Sunday morning. 1, 2 in the morning? We don't know exactly, but at some point there, that's what happened. Mary Magdalene, who loves Jesus. Now think about Mary Magdalene. We don't know a lot about her, but it says that Jesus, she was up from Galilee, and she was part of this entourage of women who helped support Jesus, and many of them were there. They witnessed the crucifixion, many of these women. They witnessed the crucifixion. Mary loves Jesus because the Bible says she was possessed by 7 demons. Jesus had cast those out. She spent the rest of her time with Jesus, following him, being supportive financially, helping out any way she could. She saw Jesus do many amazing miracles. She heard the message that Jesus gave. Her life had been changed. And she was believing this truly is the Messiah of God. and all her hopes and all her joy on that Saturday comes to an end. Because the Bible says she was right there at the foot of the cross and she witnessed Mary being told by Jesus, John, take care of the woman. Woman, this is now your son. She had witnessed Jesus on the cross saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they have done. And she witnesses the brutality, the slurs, the mockery. And she hears Jesus at the very end say, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? And at the very end, she witnesses the fact that Jesus says, it is finished. And he slumps down on the cross, and everybody that was there knows what's going on. And Jesus is dead. Mary has gone through all of that. She goes and she watches his body being taken down by Joseph and Nicodemus. And she and the other Mary are there and they're watching that body being buried as appropriate as it would. In those days in the Jewish culture, no embalming. When a person died, you wrapped them up with spices and as an act of affection and dignity. And you would then wrap them up and you would put them then into the hewn out tomb in the rock and bury them. Mary had witnessed that. I'm thinking she couldn't sleep that night. Her heart is so distraught with the loss of her Messiah. And so the scriptures say she gets up while it was still dark. And here's why it might be a new news to you on this story. By herself. She gets up and while it's still dark early in the morning, just longing to maybe go and process. And so she goes to the tomb while it's still dark. And when she gets there, Mark says she's the first one that saw Jesus. She gets there, she sees the tomb has been opened. Soldiers are gone. She doesn't know about the soldiers. Tomb's empty. Who took him? That was her first thought. Who took him? Who took the body? She runs back to where Peter and John were staying. And she tells him, says, the tomb's empty. You guys got to come see this. And so John and Peter go running off early, early morning. And they run to the tomb. And the scriptures say that John was faster than Peter. He records this and he's kind of bragging on himself, I think. But he gets there quicker than Peter. And he goes to the tomb and it's opened. The stone's been rolled away. And it says he stoops there and he looks inside and he sees the linens there and no body. Peter, I love Peter. Don't you love Peter? Peter catches up and they're just probably all out of breath. And Peter catches up and rather than sit and stoop and look at the tomb, he goes right in. Isn't that just like Peter? Stick your foot in your mouth, just go right into the tomb, no fear. He goes in and the scriptures say he looks around, he sees the linens. And the headpiece separated from the linens and neatly placed over here. And they look at each other. And the scriptures say John says he saw. And John believed. Peter, not so sure. They both leave. They go away and it says Peter was wondering what was going on. They leave. And then the next piece is, as dawn approached, these other women come. There's Salome, there's Joanna, there's Mary, the mother of Joseph, and several other women. Did you know that? Another entourage after the sun starts coming up at the crack of dawn. All these women come together and they're walking down the path to go and they know where to go because Mary had been there 24 hours before. They go and on their way they're saying, how are we going to roll away the stone? And so they get there and as they get there, they notice that the stone is rolled away and they're perplexed. They're going, what? Who did that? No soldiers. They don't know about the soldiers. The soldiers are long gone. They fled. And by the way, the soldiers went and they began to report to the high priest saying, you wouldn't believe this story. And can you imagine what they told the high priest? And they tell him, we were there and all of a sudden the earthquake, and then this angel came down and he rolled this tomb away and we froze and we freaked out and we're out of there. Roman soldiers don't do that. They don't leave their posts. These Roman soldiers, it was so traumatic, they left their posts and they go to where they need help. Because if you leave your post and if you don't do your job, you're dead. Pilate will have you killed. That's the punishment for leaving your post. And so they go and they're talking with their religious leaders and religious leaders, hey, you know what? Just let's start a new narrative. Just tell them, hey, you guys fell asleep. You know what? The disciples, they came and they took away the body. Just tell them, and we'll give you a bunch of money, hush money. And if Pilate's got a concern, we'll deal with him. Don't worry about it. Okay? So that's what's going on as the women are at the tomb, and then they look in, and there's two angels, one at the head and one at the foot. And the angel basically says, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Not being rude, but just speaking the truth. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Jesus, who was crucified, Jesus of Nazareth, whom you love, he's not here. He's risen from the dead, just like he told you. You guys remember, ladies, do you remember how he told you that while you were in Galilee, he said he was going to be betrayed by sinful men, turned over to sinful men, and then he was going to be betrayed, he was going to be handed over, he was going to die on the cross, and he was going to rise again on the third day. You guys remember that? And the scripture says the women remembered. How do you think they felt at that moment? Do I believe this or not? I want to believe this. Do I believe this? And it says the women were perplexed. I would be too, wouldn't you? And so they leave. And because part of the assignment from the angels, hey, go tell the disciples. By the way, where are the disciples in all this? Are any of them coming to the tomb? Peter and John did because they were told something happened. No, the guys, they're distressed. They're distraught. They're hidden because they're fearful. Is the other foot going to come down? Is Pilate or the religious leaders going to come after us and get us now? And so the women leave the tomb and they go to their, and all of a sudden they just pick up their feet because they're going, we gotta let people know about this. So they start running. Can you picture all these women? Whole flock of them. Just running. All of a sudden, as they go down the path, there's Jesus. And Jesus appears and says, hey, greetings, how you doing? And it says the women just fell at his feet, clung to his feet. And they worshiped the Lord. I left out a part of the story. Can we backtrack a couple hours maybe? After Peter and John had left the tomb, Mary followed them back. She came back to the tomb a second time. And it's there, she peers into the tomb and there's angels there saying, why are you weeping, Mary? She was full of emotion, as we would be. And she's there to grieve and process the loss and this thing that she could not understand. And he says, why are you weeping? She says, well, where you've taken the body? Hey, you know what? If you'll just let me know where his body is, I'll go get it. Can you picture Mary lifting a dead body? Ah, the passion that she has for Jesus. She turns around and she goes outside and there's a figure there and she thinks it's the gardener. She says, where have you taken the body of Jesus? And then he says it. That figure says, Mary. She hears the voice of her Savior. And she goes and she just jumps, runs to him and just clings to him. Wouldn't you do that? Whoa! And she just runs to him. She clings to him and says, Mary, Mary, quit clinging to me. I've got to go be with my Father. But Mary, I'm here. Go tell the disciples. Go tell others. And then she leaves and Jesus disappears. Okay, now let's fast forward because I forgot that part. All right, so now where were we? So now the women have seen Jesus. They go to tell the disciples. The disciples are all pent up in a building together. And understandably so, they're fearful, they're worried. And the women come. Second time they come, and it says, the disciples hear their story, said, "We've seen the Lord. The tomb is empty." It says, they thought they were telling fairy tales. And they disbelieved. They couldn't believe it. And so, that's the story. Later that day, we don't know much, but it says that Jesus appeared to Peter. Later that afternoon, as two men, Cleopas and his friend, are walking down the road to Emmaus, a stranger comes up to them, and they're carrying on in this conversation about the Lord and how he died and was crucified. And the stranger says, "Hey, what's going on?" They go, "Where you been?" And then they explain to this stranger that comes up to them, and they say, "Well, this Jesus was crucified and he was buried. And today the women came and they said that he's rise from the dead. We don't have to think about this." And the stranger began showing them from Genesis all the way through the Old Testament, well, here's what the Messiah had to do. He had to suffer. And so they go in for the night and they encourage him to come in. "Let's eat a meal." And as soon as the stranger takes the bread and breaks it and gives praise, he opens up their eyes and they go, "Jesus!" And he disappears. That's Sunday afternoon, late afternoon. That night, these guys say, "Let's get back and tell the disciples. We saw Jesus." They go back, and the disciples tell them, "Hey, guys, good to see you. Welcome back." And they go, "We saw Jesus." Peter saw him. "Well, we saw Jesus." And then as they're in the room, Jesus just comes through the doors, and he just appears to them. And they think he's a ghost. And Jesus says, "Well, here, give me some fish. I'll eat. I'll show you, you know. Feel me. Touch me. Here's my nails. I'm real." And then he ministers to them, and he's gone. What is the common theme to all these witnesses? They have different perspectives on that morning of what happened. But here's the common theme. Jesus was dead. There are many people who think that Jesus never really died. The centurion at the foot of the cross, surely this was the righteous man. Soldiers that came to break the legs, saying, "Man, he doesn't need to be broken. His legs don't need, he's gone." When Joseph of Arimathea comes to Pilate and says, "Hey, I want to take the body," and Pilate goes, "I don't think he's dead yet." He checks with this centurion who knows what death is all about. He's seen it time and time again. And the centurion, "No, no, no, he's dead." "Okay, you can take the body." Joseph and Nicodemus holding the dead body of Christ. Several of Jesus' followers through the course of that morning, or the day of this crucifixion, they saw Jesus on the cross and they heard, "It is finished." And they saw him slump down and they saw his spirit was gone. Jesus was dead. The second common theme was the tomb's empty. There's nobody there. The Roman guards report to the priests and they tell their story. And the priests say, "Fabricate a lie. We can't have this going around. In fact, we'll give you lots of money to be quiet. We'll cover your backside." Mary Magdalene that morning, when she goes early in the morning by herself and she sees the tomb is empty. Peter and John, when they rush to the tomb is empty. The women who come later, not just one, two, or three women, probably maybe seven, eight, nine, who knows how many, come and they all witness the tomb is empty. The angel's testimony, "He's not here. He's risen from the dead." The tomb is empty. The third common theme, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Mary Magdalene heard him speak her voice. She knew that voice. She knew Jesus. And when he says Miriam in the Aramaic, Mary, she goes to him because it's him. And she clings to him. She gives him a bear hug. And then Mary and Salome and Joanna and the other women, and they, when they see Jesus, they run at his feet and they worship him. They saw him. And then Cleopas and the follower on the road to Emmaus, the disciples that night, and later on, a week later, when Thomas hadn't been there that Sunday night, a week later, same thing, Jesus appears to him, saying, "I don't believe it." And Jesus says, "Well, here, touch." And what is Thomas's response? "My Lord and my God." Yeah, Jesus is alive. He came back from the dead. People saw him. In any court of law, it would be a slam dunk deal. Yep, he died, he was buried, rose again. What are we to learn from these witnesses? What do we learn from these accounts? The evidence is there. The question is, will you and I believe? The disciples struggled to believe. They struggled to believe, but as it became clear to them, they were transformed. They were never the same again. Men who were fearful, men who were hiding and cowering in fear, became bold men who would proclaim fearlessly and boldly the work of God. Most of them died a martyr's death. Why? Because the evidence was there. They saw it and they believed it. The evidence that Jesus Christ died an excruciating death on the cross, was buried in a tomb, tomb later empty, he was resurrected from the dead in a physical body, is powerful and overwhelming. The evidence is there. Men like Josh McDowell, C.S. Lewis, Lee Strobel, David Limbaugh, they would attest to this. All of them started out as skeptics. But once they examined the evidence, they all believed. God says, but as many as received him, and part of receiving him is beginning to check out the evidence, saying, I want to check this out. I want to know who this Jesus is. But all who have received Jesus, to them he gave the power to become children of God. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have eternal life. If you and I choose not to check out the evidence, if we choose not to seek God, his word says we do not have eternal life. Will you seek him? Will you check out the evidence? It's there. Will you choose to believe? What else do we learn from these witness accounts? I love this. When life seems at its worst, God is at his best. When life seems at its worst, God is at his best. Can you imagine? Put yourself in the disciples' place. Put yourself in Mary Magdalene's place and all the other Marys and all the other women and the men who had followed Jesus. That Sunday, they were disillusioned. They were discouraged. They were devastated. They were crushed. They were dismayed. They were fearful. And I think of Mary Magdalene. Christ had changed her life. Seven demons. How many of you have ever had seven demons in you? Can you imagine what her life was like under the possession of seven demons? And to have Jesus Christ cast those out, and then she, through the course of Jesus' ministry, she sees him feeding 5,000, witnessing and telling about the kingdom of God, that he is the Messiah, believe in him. And she sees all of this, and then she witnesses the crucifixion. Little did any of them know what God was up to that weekend. God was accomplishing his redemptive plan. He had all this plan before the beginning of the time. It was his will to sacrifice his Son so that we might become his children. It was all a part of God's redemptive plan. Listen carefully. You and I will not always understand God's plan. You and I will not always see his plan. And you may be going through some very difficult, deep waters and you don't understand what God's up to. But God doesn't say, I expect you to understand, I expect you to see and know it all. You know what God says? Trust me. Joseph of Arimathea, trusted him. Even though Jesus is dead, he says, I'm going to go and I'm going to honor my Savior. I'm going to go put the burial spices on. I'm going to put him in a tomb. I don't understand, but I'm going to go honor my Jesus. Mary the Magdalene, in spite of all that's going on, she's going to go to the tomb and she's going to love on the Lord, even though his body is dead. There was a medieval theologian, his name was St. Anselm, and he said something to this effect. I love what he said. Faith is something that you cling to when understanding and reason lay dead. Faith is something you cling to when understanding and reason lay dead. Christ's death made no sense. Messiah, He's supposed to rescue us from all this. In the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, here's what God has done. Here's God at His best. Because of His death and resurrection, you can trust God to deliver you and me from sin and a tormented life. Because on the cross and at the resurrection, Jesus won. He won victory over the power of sin in our life, the power of death in our life. Scripture says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of life is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christ has delivered you and me from death and a tormented life. He wants to give us a whole new life, and we're experiencing that. The second thing that God does, He forgives you of your sin. All of your sins. You may feel like, man, there's some things I've done in my life I don't think God can forgive me. Hogwash. Not true. When Jesus died on the cross, all of your sins were placed on Him. And because He died for your sins, you are forgiven. The price has been paid. And how do we know it was good enough? How do we know it satisfied God's righteous requirement? He rose from the dead. If Jesus never rose from the dead, we're in trouble. Our sins are not forgiven, but our sins are forgiven. And then lastly, you know what? Another thing God did? God is bringing you and me into His kingdom. His kingdom won that weekend. There were two kingdoms, Satan's and Jesus's. And on that weekend, we sang it earlier, Satan thought he'd won. Got it, Jesus is dead. And Satan's just rejoicing until Sunday morning. And then he's going, oh no. Jesus fooled him again. Jesus rises from the dead, and so Jesus defeated His kingdom at the cross. We have won. We're forgiven. We're in God's kingdom. We're His children. We're on His side. And someday He's coming back, not as the Lamb of God, but He's coming back as the Lion of Judah, and He will take you and me to be with Him forever. The Apostle Paul said, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and our faith is in vain. If Christ didn't raise from the dead, forget me preaching. What I'm saying is worthless. If Christ didn't rise from the dead, you shouldn't be here. You should be out partying hardy. Go after the Easter Bunny. But 2,000 years ago, the witnesses who were there say with unmistakable clarity and conviction, Christ died for our sins. He was buried and He was raised on the third day. That is their testimony. That is the theme. Will you believe the witnesses? The evidence is there. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You as we celebrate, Lord Jesus, Your death, Your burial, Your resurrection, and the witnesses who gave their testimony, Lord. They were there, they experienced it. And Lord, we're grateful for their testimony. It's consistent. Lord, the evidence is very, very clear. That Lord Jesus, You died on the cross for our sins. You were buried and You rose again on the third day. And Lord, if there are some here this morning who do not yet know You, Lord, I pray they would come and talk with me. They would come and talk with You more importantly and say, God, I want to believe. Help me to understand the evidence. Help me to put my faith in You. That today would be the day that they come to believe and enjoy the blessing of the forgiveness of all their transgressions and sin. Lord, for those of us who know You, thank You for these truths. Thank You, Lord, without a shadow of the doubt. Lord, these witnesses, what they spoke is real. And so we're forgiven today. We are loved by you, cherished by you. We're on your side. We're in your kingdom. Oh, Lord, our hearts just want to respond with worship and praise. And so, Lord, as we sing these songs, we're just wanting to offer back to you, Lord, we love you. Thank you for what you've done for us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Because he lives, we have hope, we have his love, and we have his life. Will you stand and let's proclaim one more time our Amen. Love for our great Savior.
I believe in the Son. I believe in the risen One. I believe I overcome by the power of His love. Amen. Amen. I'm alive.
You know, this morning, if God has been touching your heart and you're saying, you know, I don't know Jesus. I've checked out the evidence. I think I want to believe. Come talk to me. I'm right here. I would love to introduce you to Jesus today. But because He lives, we will live forever. Enjoy the Lord today. I want to pray for you and bless you. Come and get an Easter lily. The flowers, help yourself. Remember, He died, was buried, rose again. Lord Jesus, we celebrate You today. It's been our humble effort and attempt to glorify You. How can we ever do that, Lord? How could we ever do You justice? This is only a small glimpse of what will be someday when we stand in Your presence with millions upon millions of people who will worship You, Lord Jesus, who will say, Lord, You rose from the dead. You're our Savior, You're our Master, You're our Lord. Lord, dismiss us now in Your grace and in Your mercy. Lord, we leave with joy. We leave with hope. We leave with peace because we've been having peace with You ever since we've put our faith in You, Jesus. Now, Lord, bless each one here today. Encourage their hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, bless you.